Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
The most hated man in America, or the most loved, typical of politics. Some people are chomping at the bit to read the tell-all book that John Bolton is supposed to pump out next week. Some of the salacious interviews he's already given have added fuel to the fire, while the Trump administration is furious and wants it stopped, and everyone and their brother is weighing in on what's the deal with John Bolton. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo denounced the former National Security Advisor Bolton as a traitor who damaged America by writing a memoir that was pretty critical of President Trump. He released a statement on Thursday night, said he hadn't read the book, but from the excerpts he had seen published, it is lies, fully spun half-truths, and outright false. He said it's sad and dangerous that John Bolton's final public role is that of a traitor who damaged America by violating his sacred trust with its people. Is there an unspoken trust when you work in the highest office in the land? Somebody posed that question to me. I pose it to you. You can always flip me your answer. We're doing an unofficial poll at katedelaneyradio.com. Just click on contact and let me know what you think. Coming up, we're going to talk about the numbers of just about everything, because I think we twist and turn on numbers, including that of COVID-19. Also, a conversation with a woman who wrote a novel after being swacked over the head with cancer and realizing really most of her entire life how you could just dig a little bit deeper and overcome whatever that obstacle is and follow your path and not worry about everybody else. Ooh, if it were only that easy. Her last name, by the way, is Delaney. Her name is Jennifer Delaney. No relation. I'm the only Delaney writer that I know of in my family, because I have a book called Deal Your Own Destiny that Forbes Books put out about a year and a half ago. All right, so John Bolton, like I said, this is the weigh-in, the big weigh-in besides the coronavirus and Juneteenth coming up and Tulsa and the president's rally and what's going on with Joe Biden. I think those are some of the top things. But the White House is pretty much saying, look, the book is lies, and they sought an emergency injunction to prevent it from going on sale next week. There have been, a lot of it has been leaked out where there are conversations about things that happened in the Oval Office and things that have happened between the president and cabinet members, and even deeper than that. Selling a book, controversy sells, especially when it comes to politics. But what is interesting about Bolton is even some of the leftists of the left are not supportive of John Bolton putting the book out now and what he has to say in the book. And like I said, others can't wait to break it open. Watch the sales if in fact it does come out, or if the injunction at least temporarily stops it. At this point, who knows? By the way, what's so interesting is, we've been talking about the zone in Seattle that's been set up and how it's peaceful, but a precinct was blocked off, and now there are conversations about other areas. But the Portland police pulled apart an autonomous zone in front of the mayor's apartment. So they reclaimed several blocks that hundreds of protesters took over as, again, one of those zones. And they dismantled the barricades and tents and the process of clearing the area of protesters. 12,000 people have signed an online petition calling for the Democratic mayor, Ted Wheeler, to resign. And they've named the zone Patrick Kimmons, but it only lasted a few hours before they dismantled it. Kimmons was a black man who was shot and killed by police in Portland in 2018. And this all, of course, stems from the turn of what's happening in the conversation since the death of George Floyd that we all watched on video in Minneapolis. And protesters are demonstrating also for the death of George Floyd. But in the case of Portland, they were upset that the Portland City Council decided to take only $16 million from the Portland Police Department's budget. The protesters wanted more than $50 from the department's funding. So this goes deeper and goes to the issue that has been discussed so much, and that is defunding the police and pumping up community projects and conversations instead. Some areas this will happen, but I think there is also such a great push to not do that and to reform what's happening in police departments. More reform than completely defunding it. And pretty much across the polls that I've seen, most people don't necessarily want to see the police departments defunded, but they definitely are pushing for reform. Because who are you going to call when something happens and you're in a panic? Who do you call where a police officer would normally be the first to handle what that call is about? I talked about my experience in Vegas with a kick door robber, and thank goodness they responded so quickly. And it was scary because I hadn't had anything happen like that, and that's exactly where I reached. And I wouldn't know where I would reach if we didn't have that. I said as well on this show that it successfully worked in Camden, New Jersey, because they ripped up what was horrible and riddled with corruption and started from scratch. Basically said, everybody scat, and we're going to start over. And the starting over worked there, but it was a small area. And this happened in 2012, and it is a successful example of what can happen, what can happen. But there is certainly chaos and turmoil in other situations, and I don't think anybody really wants to see that in their neck of the woods, or am I being naive? I've talked to too many people about it, and along with my opinion and knowing police officers and having some in the fam, how dangerous that could be. Yes, Minneapolis was an aberration, was horrible. And maybe there they've got a point, they've got the votes, etc. And if they have a plan, let's see what happens. They could always go back, but the police chief is fighting hard for that not to happen, to not see that happen. Dreamers, that was the name of the game for the Supreme Court, and the U.S. Supreme Court dealt the president another blow, anti-immigration efforts anyway, with the rejection of his cancellation of a program protecting 700,000 rather Dreamers, the DACA program, brought into the United States as children. The High Court's second rebuff of the week. How about that? So the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program, they say, was arbitrary and capricious. Numbers coming up.
In today's world, violent crime can victimize anyone, anytime. When violent crime confronts you, will you be able to protect yourself and your loved ones? For personal protection training, there's none better than Front Sight, the world's premier firearms training facility near Las Vegas, Nevada. Learn firearm skills from Front Sight's world-class instructors, led by Front Sight's founder and director, Dr. Ignatius Piazza. Whether you're in law enforcement, the military, or a private citizen, after your first firearm training course at Front Sight, you'll leave with skills that surpass 99% of the gun-owning training population guaranteed. And now you and your family can train at FrontSight free of charge. Yes, free. Go now to frontsight.com/radio to secure a $2,000 four-day defensive handgun course. Absolutely free with no catch. Enter FrontSight.com/radio. Act now before these free courses are all taken. Secure your free four-day course at frontsight.com/radio. FrontSight, America's gun training destination. Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Are you still under stay-at-home orders trying to figure out what to do with your free time even after the lockdown is over? Why not try World of Warship? With World of Warships, you can command a massive naval fleet featuring some of history's most iconic war vessels. Unlock new ships as you prepare to dominate the oceans. Each ship is accurate to the original. Each battle will make you feel like you're right there. Each week, there's something new to experience with new missions, game updates, and events to keep you and your friends engaged for hours. Play over 300 ships across 10 different nations. World of Warships currently has over 30 million players worldwide. It's the perfect game to take your mind off things as we self-isolate to help flatten the coronavirus curve. To play for free, go to worldofwarships.com and use the invite code BOOM. BOOM gets players started with 2 cruisers, 1 American, 1 German, as well as some premium currency. Check it out at worldofwarships.com today. Use the invite code BOOM. World of Warships, the thinking man's action game at worldofwarships.com. Invite code BOOM. Numbers, 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 ladies and gents. That's what we're talking about. The numbers I'd love to see go down, of course, the COVID-19 numbers. Because when we look at the number of deaths of the coronavirus, yes, it's not the 50 million from the Spanish flu that killed my great-grandmother, who I know very little about. But it's now officially, because I just got the up-to-date total, 120,000 dead in the United States out of 2.23 million cases, 698,000 recovered. I feel optimistic, though, despite that number, because I believe in this push for the virus. I really do. And I've heard a lot of off-the-cuff conversation, or I'm going to call it inside baseball, and I feel pretty comfortable with some of the people I've talked to about this, that there is such a great push for this. Now there is these trials that are really kicking in high gear in July, and even Anthony Fauci, the nation's top doc, who felt like people were disregarding COVID-19 in the very beginning of this because the numbers weren't scaring anyone or whatever it might have been. And you could just, no matter what your politics, it doesn't even matter about politics, you could see his love for the nation and really he's been in that job forever wanting people to survive. So the good news is he feels confident that there's not going to be lockdown across the United States again, that there'll just be individual areas where they will have to roll it back a little bit and then reopen as appropriate while the search for the vaccine happens. Because that's the problem. We know it. You get COVID-19, and it's a crapshoot. Do you survive? Is it a quick thing that goes through you? Is it horrible and hits you hard and fast, and then it's gone? Do you have the antibodies? I mean, there's all kinds of ways to look at it. But the thing I look at is, give me the cure. What's the first thing you want to know when you have a disease? What's the cure? What's the cure? What's the cure? And I feel pretty good, if he feels pretty good, that there is a great chance that even though Florida, Texas, Arizona, they're having more cases come to light, more hospitalizations, more deaths, that does eventually roll out. And maybe some things have to be rolled back. But do we have to go to full lockdown again? Boy, I hope not. So continuing those numbers just quickly, the Florida Department of Health announced 3,207 new cases of COVID-19 in the state on Thursday, beating the previous high single day of 2,783 that was set earlier in the week. So there's 85,000 confirmed cases. The number of deaths increased to 3,061, so that's up 43 since earlier in the week. And so much of what they're talking about is the intensive care unit beds being occupied, and general hospital beds were at about 75% capacity across the state. And this is all about the whole reopening and masks and businesses. And are the alarm bells going off? The beach situations, this is on the heels of some of the people disregarding what was happening on the beaches. So that would play into it, I think. I think it does play into that somewhat, without a doubt. Tulsa is on the minds of a lot of people because it's the president's first rally back as he is on the road to trying to be reelected, and Tulsa is a place where people embrace the president, and that's the whole idea of the rally. But is there going to be some upheaval in Tulsa? The Trump supporters have lined up way ahead of Saturday. I was looking at some video of this and talking to somebody, in fact, who was out there, and they say that, you know, they're lining up because it's a celebration and they want to make sure that they get in, and knowing, okay, not every seat is going to be taken, is it? But 2 days before, he's scheduled to hold the campaign rally, it's expected to draw 100,000 people. And people say they want to be there to share their support. So people are waiting on lawn chairs with tents, and they're hanging out and saving their spaces so that they can make sure that they get in there and that they get a spot. The concerns are mostly if the rallygoers aren't cautious. Tulsa's top health official, Dr. Bruce Dart, told the Tulsa World he wishes the rally were being held at a later date, but he says it's a large indoor event, and how are the people treating themselves is so much of a part of it. So 19,000 people, that's the event center, how big it is, the Bank of Oklahoma Center, that's how much. But 100,000 people, all told, supposedly gathering in Tulsa. Wow. And they did move the date instead of having it on Juneteenth, which, of course, is on Friday. And with Juneteenth, there are a lot of businesses, including Chase announced that they were closing the banks at 1 o'clock in the afternoon on Friday to celebrate Juneteenth. And when I say celebrate, it commemorate the end of slavery in the United States. And it is an unofficial holiday. It was an American holiday and an official Texas state holiday, by the way, celebrated on the 19th of June in the United States. So, and a lot of people don't know this, but to commemorate Union Army General Gordon Granger, who apprised federal orders in the city of Galveston, Texas, back in 1865, proclaiming that all slaves in Texas were now free. So that's how that's handled there. And some people ask that, why was it called Juneteenth? And it's the day. And when did it become a state holiday in Texas? There's a trivia question for you. 1980 is when that became a state holiday. So more people, I think, are aware of it and understand the significance of it and the celebrations of, you know, remembering that kind of thing. And it's been around for a while, but it just depends on the area where you're from, how much you heard about Juneteenth and, you know, what you know about it. Amy Klobuchar knows that she doesn't have the right stuff. She has the right stuff to be the VP, but there were some criticisms of Amy Klobuchar. And while she got closer to Joe Biden, and there was speculation that, you know, she was a possible VP candidate after George Floyd's last month and the days and days of protests across the country and the criticism that as a top prosecutor, Amy Klobuchar didn't charge any of the officers involved in citizens' deaths for a case that she was involved in, which she's saying there's misinformation on that. She's pulling out of contention for that. She's dropping out of the running to be the VP. And she's urging, as she said in her words, Joe Biden to instead select a woman of color. And she said, I think this is a moment to put a woman of color on the ticket. And if you want to heal the nation right now, my party, yes, but our nation, this is sure a hell of a way to do it. So then Biden said, tweeted out that she had grit and determination, and with your help, we're going to beat Donald Trump. Donald Trump is again going on the rally road to what worked so well before. And there are people, like I said, in Tulsa that are lining up just to get a glimpse of the president. And then there will be other stops along the way, you can be sure, before November to get these popular rallies going wherever they can, meaning the RNC, wherever it makes sense. And this is just the first spot. All right, the music means I got to step aside. So hang with us, everybody, and I'll meet you on the other side.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live-underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
For USA Radio News, I'm Kenneth Burns. Capitol Hill is reacting to the Supreme Court ruling on DACA. Here's USA's Tim Berg.
The Supreme Court on Thursday rejected President Trump's attempt to end the DACA program, handing a major victory to about 650,000 illegal immigrants who all entered the country illegally as a child more than a decade ago. As far as the president's next steps, Republican Senator from Oklahoma James Lankford tells Fox News,
"Well, the president, I would assume, is going to come out and say, okay, we're going to go back and reevaluate this. Clearly, no president is supposed to be, until today, bound by the actions of a previous president. No president can make legislation that can't be undone. But now the court has said any president can only undo the actions of a previous president if the court agrees to that. And that's absurd, again, on its face. That violates all separation of powers."
The Dow loses 40, but NASDAQ and S&P gain. This is USA Radio News. There's been a death in one of America's most famous political families. USA's Chris Barnes reports.
The last surviving member of what many Americans at the time referred to as Camelot has passed away. The last surviving sibling to former President John F. Kennedy, Jean Kennedy Smith, died yesterday in her Manhattan home. She was 92. She was also the former U.S. ambassador to Ireland. She lived for decades longer than most of her siblings, whose lives tragically ended, of course, including the former President Kennedy, who was assassinated in 1963. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Supporters of President Trump have convened on Tulsa ahead of a Saturday event being billed as a pro-Trump rally. Trump said more than a million people have requested tickets for the event at the Bank of Oklahoma Center. The rally comes amid an uptick in COVID-19 cases in the area. The Trump campaign has said that every attendee will be subjected to a temperature check. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Today, many of us are paying attention to our health, and what we eat plays an important role. But so often the water we drink is a mere afterthought when it should be a primary part of our daily nutrition. Real Water would like to change how you think about the water you drink and how it can play an important role in helping your body restore balance and reach its full potential. The key benefits of every bottle of Real Water are stabilized negative ions, balanced pH, detoxification, and it hydrates you like never before. And yes, it tastes great. Real Water is beyond alkalinity, and due to its proprietary process called E2 technology, it's the only drinking water on the market that can maintain a stable negative ionization, which means real science in every bottle. Order your Real Water today and take advantage of special pricing for this audience only by calling 1-855-REALWTR or visiting buyrealwaternow.com. That's 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com. Order now. 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com.
A big change in your life, like we are living the American dream, but wouldn't it be cool if we kind of removed ourselves and did some renovating of a farmhouse and lived a different life? Well, our next guest, Katrina Morgan, did just that, and she wrote a book called Echoes in the Walls. It is so funny. Probably not funny when she was going through it, but I think if you read it, you will laugh out loud. Katrina, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me. I've been looking forward to this all week.
So you and I talked off the air, and I loved what you told me that, well, you know, think of the movie Money Pit by, you know, that Tom Hanks was in. What, first of all, made you decide you were going to make this big change?
I think we dusted off an old dream. Our family seemed to be living the American dream. We had the jobs, the house, the cars, but we were strangely dissatisfied by that. It just seemed like we were all following the same path, and we wanted to do something different with our family, tackle something huge together that we felt like we could come away from with lessons and value for our children.
And so in doing that, you decide, all right, so there's this really cool place that we can get. And tell us about getting the place. And wasn't it like this incredible house, the way it was like a pre-Civil War home, that kind of thing, and looked great sort of from the outside? How did you end up picking the spot that you picked?
We wanted to stay in the same area because of schools. our children, we have three, were at very different ages and stages, and we didn't want to disrupt school. So we were looking local. I will say that I'm not sure I would agree with the house looked really great. It only looked really great to us. Nobody else could see it completed. We found it actually late at night, kind of crept up to the house. It was built in the 1840s. That's pre-Civil War. That's Pony Express, just
wow.
to give you an idea. But we saw the potential of the house. But looking at it at 11:30 at night and looking at it in daylight, we're very different. Daylight showed that, maybe we'd been a little overly enthusiastic in our appraisal. The house had great bones, but there was a lot wrong. It had been vacant for years. The windows were broken. The doors were broken. It had been vandalized heavily. Graffiti artists had come in and spray-painted walls, and most things in the house actually were broken. And we were so excited with the possibilities that we just literally stepped past obstacles to tackle this old farmhouse because we were so sure it was going to be the greatest thing that ever happened to our family.
Wow. So then what happens when you actually move into the farmhouse?
Well, we didn't move in right away. We thought once we purchased it, it was in such bad shape. No heat, no working bathrooms, nothing. We thought we would have 6 months or longer to make the renovations. But our new home in this lovely neighborhood sold the first day it was on the market. So we had 90 days to try to take this decrepit, falling apart, ramshackle, should have been bulldozed house and turn it into kind of some sort of habitable home. And it was a disaster. All of those early dreams and excitement disappeared pretty quickly. And things began to go wrong daily.
So much so that you had raccoons in the bedroom. You had skeletons in the cellar. Tell us about that.
It was awful. We started to feel like it was the plagues of Egypt. Like, what else is going to go wrong? Because the house had been vacant, windows broken, a whole family of raccoons had taken residence up in some debris and broken furniture in one of the bedrooms. We discovered bones in what I called the dungeon. It was a dirt crawl space area under the house. And in trying to clear it out, I discovered a possum skull, skeletal remains of rabbits, birds, snake skins, anything that you could imagine was down there, and even found what looked suspiciously like a femur, which set everybody off for days. It was just creepy. We had a colony of bats that lived in the house. We didn't know about that when we bought it. And by colony, I'm not talking 10. I'm talking 100.
Oh.
And they've been there a long, long time. And it set off weeks of battling these bats and trying to figure out how to get them out of the house so that we could take ownership. And we failed more often than not. They were ridiculous stories of us trying to get rid of these bats, funny stories of catching them in Tupperware bowls and trying to open up holes in the eaves so that they would fly out. We eventually put a new roof on the house after we thought the bats were gone, and they chewed through a brand new roof to move back inside.
Crazy.
I said if it could go wrong, it did. We had injuries. We had an oil spill in our pond with 500 gallons of oil that ended up in the pond. We had a flash flood that washed away literally everything we had just completed on the outside of the house. We had a 4 or 5 foot wide beehive that we discovered in a kitchen wall. It was just one thing after another, all while a clock is ticking 90 days, 80 days, 70 days to move in. It was just disastrous.
So this was no HGTV prize, that's for sure. So when you look at...
Oh, no, I laugh at them.
When you...
That's not real.
Yeah, that's not real. So when you look at your husband and then the kids, what was that like? What kind of conversations were you having? Like, were they like, "Mom, we can't move in here"? What was that like?
Oh, our oldest was 17, and she was fully prepared to move in with her best friend. She was not going to go there. The youngest boys, the middle one, it was an adventure to him, but he was really afraid to leave his friends, to start over. So there was a lot of tension in that regard. The youngest was actually a toddler who saw the whole thing as an adventure, and he was busy. We had to try to keep him away from tools and out of wells and please don't go in the pond. And it was a disaster. It was a lot of family tension and dynamics in trying to make those changes and still keep up some semblance of life.
Yeah.
Whether it was going to school or homework or their extracurricular activities or jobs. My husband's job changed just as we bought this house, and it required him to travel 2 weeks out of every month. So during all of this, he was gone.
Oh.
Which meant I had to learn how to do these things or deal with all of the obstacles and the kids. And it was horrible. But I think important in that our family started to reevaluate how each one of us fit into the picture.
Yeah.
And we had to do this together. There was no option. The other house is sold. We have to move. And so that the tension, the chaos, the craziness that anybody would have was then tripled because of all of the things that were happening at this house.
Is so that why
family dynamics? It was crazy.
Is that why you wrote the book, so people would know, hey, this is life. This is life for all of us.
I don't think I started off that way, but certainly the lessons eventually appeared. I didn't have time to think about it. But when we were running around at baseball games or extracurricular activities, we began to tell the stories about this house, so much so that we felt like we were a comedy team. We couldn't go to a game without a congregation of people around us asking about all the things that had happened at the house. And it was just so funny, and people were incredulous, like, that cannot be true. But it was true. And we began to play off of one another even in telling those stories. And I thought, my gosh, you know, there's so much going on. I need to write this down. I'm going to forget. And in that process of writing it down, it became a book. And what I wanted to share with people about life and the obstacles that occur, the problems that we run into, and that finding the humor, celebrating the victories is worth it, because in the end you have something that you're proud of, and you can wear life's bruises proudly and march forward and handle anything that comes your way. And that's
I love
what
that
I wanted to share. Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. The humor and the victory. Was it fun writing it?
Oh, it was a blast writing it. And partially, and here's something that I think most people will agree, we don't remember it the same. It's a Mars-Venus thing.
Mm-hmm.
The things that I remember about the stories are very different than my husband's interpretations. And it became funny at night. I would share with him the chapters, and he would look at me and say, that's not the way that happened at all. And then we would battle back and forth and try to remember and come to some compromise as to how we saw those things, which in and of itself is a lesson about communication and how we're going to view the same problems and come away from it in agreement.
Yeah. Well, what is it like, Katrina Morgan? I love that. The humor and the victory, celebrating it. You have to get this book because you will laugh out loud. Echoes in the Walls, Katrina Morgan. Thanks so much for joining us on the show.
I enjoyed it thoroughly. Thank you for having me.
Are you still under stay-at-home orders trying to figure out what to do with your free time, even after the lockdown is over? Why not try World of Warship? With World of Warships, you can command a massive naval fleet featuring some of history's most iconic war vessels. Unlock new ships as you prepare to dominate the oceans. Each ship is accurate to the original. Each battle will make you feel like you're right there. Each week, there's something new to experience with new missions, game updates, and events to keep you and your friends engaged for hours. Play over 300 ships across 10 different nations. World of Warships currently has over 30 million players worldwide. It's the perfect game to take your mind off things as we self-isolate to help flatten the coronavirus curve. To play for free, go to worldofwarships.com and use the invite code BOOM. BOOM gets players started with two cruisers, one American, one German, as well as some premium currency. Check it out at worldofwarships.com today. Use the invite code BOOM. World of Warships, the thinking man's action game at worldofwarships.com. Invite code BOOM.
Houseflies defecate every 4 to 5 minutes, spreading diseases and germs. Protect your food and your health with Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic, no batteries required, only $39.95. Use discount code GCN and get an extra 10% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Fire your fly swatter. Get your Bug Assault today.
Attention homeowners that have ever had a broken appliance. That's a joke, right? We've all had broken appliances. I own a home just like you and have found a way for as little as a dollar a day to have all the major appliances in my home on a warranty plan. They're guaranteed to be fixed or replaced. You know how expensive an air conditioner, the heating system, a washing machine, dryer, water heater, or refrigerator can be. For about a dollar a day, all your major appliances are protected in case they break. Unless you're Daddy Warbucks or the Monopoly guy and you don't care about money, call my friends at the Home Service Club now and get a warranty on your major appliances. It's a free call, and the first month is free. But be one of the first 25 people to call within the next 10 minutes.
800-825-6796. 800-825-6796. 800-825-6796. Again, that's 800-825-6796.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, silverlungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at silverlungs.com. That's silverlungs.com.
Virtual green room, and part of our author's corner is Jennifer Delaney. She's written a book called Color of Grace, and it's such an interesting novel, very descriptive about the characters and where they're headed, and the reason that she started writing is interesting as well. So Jennifer, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So let's talk about what you and I talked about off the air. What was it that compelled you to decide, you know what, I'm going to write some books?
Well, the first thing that brought that up was I had gotten cancer, and I was struggling with how to proceed. I didn't know what direction to go. But the one thing I did know is I wanted to leave something behind for my family. So I decided that I would leave them a book that they could read, hopefully laugh a little, hopefully learn a little, and know that they are their own best power and that they can do it, whether I'm here or I'm not.
So you took a story based on wanting to leave something behind for your friends to empower them, really, because of what you've had to overcome in your life. And what were some of the hurdles that you went through that we can find in the book masked in other characters?
Well, I don't think it's really what I've gone through as much as what I believe. I've I'm 135 pounds, and I'm blonde, and it got so bad after a while when people would address me or come up to me, I would just put my hand up and walk because I was very muscular for a young woman, and people automatically assumed that, you know, this was going to be fun dating time. Well, I had already been married. I got married at 20. And by 23, I had two children, so I was over that. And I knew they, you know, my husband would say, why do you do that? And I said, because they're seeing what they want to see. They don't know me. They know nothing about what my goals are, what I love. That's what. If I was black, if I was fat, if I was this or that, all of a sudden they wouldn't be interested, and I already know that.
Wow.
So I wanted to make sure that people understood what you are. It's not about what other people see. If you want to look beautiful, you're going to do that, whether it be for one thing or the other. In my story, when the heroine, so to speak, tells her new husband, who is half Indian and half Irish, and a real hottie, and she says, as a princess, we don't dress for ourselves. We don't do things for ourselves. We do them because it's our obligation as representatives of other people. We need to make them understand how wonderful that they are through us so that they can do their best. And so that's pretty much what I try to tell other people is, you know, sometimes it's not all about you. Most of the time it's not all about you. Most of the time it's all about what other people want it to be about.
Boy, that's so true, and it's so timely now. So it doesn't really matter the color of your skin, your ethnic background, if you're tall, if you're this, if you're that, because it's who you are, and people see you a certain way, but they don't really know you, and you feel like you really went through that in your life.
I do. You know, there was a black man that was arrested a while back in Chicago for stealing his own car. They didn't ask, but they handed them the registration. And, you know, because he was an influential person who actually had the ability, he didn't get all mad. He just sued him.
Good for him, right?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it wasn't about getting revenge or stupid you. It was about do what you got to do, and I'll do what I got to do.
Yeah, and again,
back its own power.
Yeah, absolutely. We're speaking to Jennifer Delaney, and the book is called Color of Grace, and it's on Amazon. It's J.S. Delaney, and that's how you'll find her under that. And again, as I said, the title of the book is Color of Grace. What was the best thing for you for writing the books, for getting into it and coming up with the characters and thinking about the messages that you wanted to leave? Because, Jennifer, you know, a lot of people talk about writing books, but they don't do it.
Well, my thing is, I love people. I absolutely do. And that's what my husband says. He has to worry about leaving money to me when he dies because I'll just give it away. But I just hate it when people don't see their beauty. It irritates me so badly because I think about all the things you could be doing to be living a beautiful life. And we best and buy to feel bad. About what?
Yeah.
If you're fat, get help. If you're not fat and you're too skinny and, you know, I mean, these days.
Yeah, yeah.
People find almost anything to feel bad about.
Boy, that's so
why
true.
Why can't you find something to feel good about, for crying out loud?
Yeah, yeah. And you said this at the beginning. I mean, you're dealing with cancer. You got cancer, and that's, you dealt with that, and that's not an easy road to go down, is it?
Well, actually, because I was very naive, they over-radiated me, and I've had 4 surgeries after that now, and it's really not one thing. Once you have cancer and they do that radiation, you're dealing with it for the rest of your life. And I actually had an incident where I was driving, I couldn't find work, so I took work up in Iowa, and I was driving home, and I literally didn't remember how I got there. And I was driving, which scared the hell out of me. So I went to the doctor, and she said, well, you're just a hypochondriac. I don't know what to tell you because I can't find anything.
Wow.
So I went, I went to the vein specialist, and I said, here's the thing. I'm standing in front of you now asking you for an appointment. If I don't get an appointment, I will be sure everybody knows that it's your ass if I hurt anyone. But the upside is I've got insurance, and if you help me, you'll get paid, I'll get help, and we'll all be happy. So she said they found out that I had no blood flow going to the left carotid in my neck, so I was actually falling asleep because I was lacking oxygen.
Wow.
So sometimes, you look at things and you think about others in a more lofty way. And when you look at what could have happened, I could have killed people. And it never even occurred to them. You know, it was more important whether or not that they were going to get paid.
Right.
You need to start seeing your own self. And yet, when I was in Iowa, I was working for security because that's all I could get at that particular time. And all the people that I helped would have been, they would have been suffering. And so this is why, because it was during a flood, so this is why I say you always look at the big picture and you see how much money this job makes or how much this does. It's not always about you. It's often about what you leave behind.
Right, and so we come full circle. It's about what you leave behind, which was the idea of writing books and coming up with The Color of Grace. And the story is all about the things that we talked about, that's for sure, and about the characters and what they go through and things to think about in your own life. And you can find it on Amazon, J.S. Delaney, Color of Grace. Jennifer, thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Thank you for having me again. I hope everybody reads my book and laughs a little, learns a little, and sees that they really are the answer to all the problems. They really are.
Perfect place to end this and to end the show as well. So thanks for listening, everybody, and thank you, Jennifer.
Thank you, Kate. I hope you have a blessed day.
Are you still under stay-at-home orders trying to figure out what to do with your free time even after the lockdown is over? Why not try World of Warship? With World of Warships, you can command a massive naval fleet featuring some of history's most iconic war vessels. Unlock new ships as you prepare to dominate the oceans. Each ship is accurate to the original. Each battle will make you feel like you're right there. Each week, there's something new to experience with new missions, game updates, and events to keep you and your friends engaged for hours. Play over 300 ships across 10 different nations. World of Warships currently has over 30 million players worldwide. It's the perfect game to take your mind off things as we self-isolate to help flatten the coronavirus curve. To play for free, go to worldofwarships.com and use the invite code BOOM. BOOM gets players started with 2 cruisers, 1 American, 1 German, as well as some premium currency. Check it out at worldofwarships.com today. Use the invite code BOOM. World of Warships, the thinking man's action game at worldofwarships.com. Invite code BOOM.